and welcome to this edition of the AskTwitter.net Q&A session. My name is Jay Aaron, and I'm the founder of TwitterCentral.net and a network of Twitter-related websites, including AskTwitter.net, created to help you use Twitter successfully as a highly effective business tool. I'm also the creator of the Twitter Quick Start Guide for Entrepreneurs and Small Businesses, a training designed to help you set up and tweak your Twitter account for maximum business success, and the Twitter Business Strategies Sequential Learning Training and Support Program. Today's featured guest is Chris Voss. For more than 20 years, Chris Voss has built, managed, and invested in over 22 corporations in a wide variety of industries, including mortgage, real estate, stock markets, investing, mall retailing, computers, clothing lines, talent agencies, courier companies, personnel companies, telemarketing call centers, construction, paper call industry, club promotions, and social media. He's proficient in most all aspects of business management, operations, startups, sales, motivation, training, and overseeing thousands of employees. And one of Chris's significant strengths, especially in today's economy, is his ability to think outside the box. Now, if you have and use a Twitter account, it's likely you know Chris, because with more than 80,000 Twitter followers reading his numerous informative, inspirational, and humorous tweets every day, Chris is the Twitter and social media expert that other experts call for help. Chris is a highly sought-after speaker and the host of the Chris Voss Show. He's also the CEO of Strategics One Consulting and provides consulting services for businesses, sales, motivation, training, and startups, and especially focuses on social media. Chris has mastered using Twitter and other forms of social media successfully as a business tool to generate prospects and customers, serve them well, and increase profits. And that's what this call is all about. So I'm honored to have Chris, who's so knowledgeable about this subject, as our featured guest. And without further ado, let's get going. Welcome, Chris.
Thanks, Jay. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for inviting me to your show.
Well, it's my pleasure to have you. You know, you're crackling just a little bit. I don't know if there's anything that you'll be able to do about that, but we'll see if we can't make sure that you get heard well during tonight's call.
Okay. Sounds good.
All right. So, Chris, what we're going to do is we're going to have a little interactive conversation, learn a little bit about you, talk a little bit about Twitter and how you use it and how you recommend that it be used. And, of course, you're not just limited to your use of Twitter. You're a social media expert as well. So, while this call is primarily about Twitter and how to use it, we sure want to make sure to give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about that. And then we've got lots of questions, more than we'll get to tonight, that have been submitted by our listeners prior to this call. And I'm excited to ask some of them to you because they are great questions that range all the way from the beginner level, how do we get started, so that we can help people get started using Twitter properly and well and successfully, all the way up to some expert-level questions, and there's nobody better to ask an expert-level question, in my opinion, than you. So I've talked about all of the amazing things that you've done over your career, and I know that you've got a great deal of focus on Twitter and social media and your consulting company, which is Strategics One, and I believe that that address is strategixone.com. So would you like to take a moment to tell people about what you do in that arena and how your company serves people to get us started?
We work with individuals, CEOs, and companies, and we teach them basically how to run their marketing and drive, you know, massive amounts of traffic using social media to their websites. That's really what we do. There's some seminar speaking that I do, webinars. I've got ebooks that we've written, or that I've written, I should say. There's some training videos that we put into place, and of course that's all developing. So some pretty cool things that way. Pretty much just consulting and telling people how to do it. I seem to spend a lot of my day doing one-on-one consulting for some clients that like that experience. And so all day long I'm either blabbing about social media, or all day long I'm on Twitter fixing people's problems, et cetera, et cetera. So that's pretty much what Strategics One does.
Well, I want to let everybody know that while tonight, or that the call that we're having here now, Chris, is not a promotional call specifically, that, you know, I want to encourage people that if they hear anything from you or perhaps from me that they find to be of interest, that we want to give you ways to take advantage of that as a listener. So if during the course of the call you find yourself intrigued by what Chris is saying and you feel that he can help you either as an entrepreneur or a business owner or manager with your online business or your offline business, then certainly you're going to want to check out strategicsone.com and get information about Chris, what they do, what he does, what his company does, and how you might be able to be in touch to talk to him about you out. And Chris, I also want to mention that you've got three really insightful ebooks. I'm going to name them. You've got one called How to Build Twitter Followers Fast and Efficiently, and you call that your proven system. And you have a second one called My Secrets to Semi-Automating Twitter 24/7, which is an intriguing concept, of course, about automating Twitter and whether you should or shouldn't, and if you decide to, how to do that effectively. And then the third one is How to Maximize Twitter for Your Business. Now, for those of you who are on the call, you'll find a link to Chris's product site at the telewebcast page that you're listening. And after this call, you'll find links to this site where you can get these three ebooks at twittercentral.net. And we're going to talk about some of the things that are in those ebooks tonight, Chris, because they're great guides for people, and we want to encourage people to take advantage of them. And also, Chris, let's let people know how they can follow you on Twitter right here at the beginning, and we'll mention it again later.
Sure. Under the at symbol, of course, Chris, C-H-R-I-S, Voss, V-O-S-S. And if you Google Chris Voss or the Chris Voss Show, you pretty much get the phone book. So you should be able to find me on most social media sites. I'm sorry, Jay.
Go ahead.
On most social media sites, if you want to find me on any of the sites that are out there, just look for Chris Voss on Facebook or LinkedIn or any other sites, and I'm usually the same.
And I was about to say to our listeners that one of the examples of your success is the success that you've created for yourself in branding your own name and positioning yourself as an expert in this marketplace, and it's a great model to follow for people who are looking to position their businesses as a lead business in their industry or themselves as a lead expert in their field. And Twitter at Chris Voss. And Chris Voss, just search him on Google and you'll find him all over the place, and Facebook and LinkedIn and everywhere else. And it's easy to find you, Chris, which is really great. So let me get some insights from you without any specific direction. You've managed, and you're one of the few people who I would really admire about this, to understand what Twitter is, how it works, not technically or logistically, but in terms of how it works in the context of building a brand and growing a business, and what you can and can't do and what you should and shouldn't do. And I think I'd like to just turn this over to you for a few minutes and have you talk about some Twitter basics, about how people who want to use Twitter as a business tool can do that effectively, and specifically talk about some of the things that are the must-dos and some of the things that are the must-not-dos, and how Twitter fits into a larger business strategy and what it is and what it isn't. Of course, you know that one of the major questions that people ask is, how do you make money on Twitter? So it would be good to discuss how you do that, or even if you can. And I'm just going to turn the floor over to you and just kind of let people hear what you have to say about this topic.
Okay. Thanks, Jay. There's two things that a lot of people, I think, really want to accomplish on Twitter. You know, you can have fun with it, but a lot of people are either, if they're not a business, they want to build what a lot of people call now these days personal branding or personal brand. They want to have a reputation. And a lot of times with sites like LinkedIn and other things, even on Twitter, you can search for a job now. And if people get to know you, they'll tend to possibly hire you. The other example, of course, is having a business online and promoting it online for what you want to do. In the old days, you would start a, you know, if you started a company or a business, usually you'd go get a storefront and you run some advertising and you'd hope that people would show up. With the recent internet, you would go to Google, set up your website, maybe buy some ads from Google, hope that your traffic will come in from Google or your ads, and just cross your fingers. The great thing about social media for a business is if you've got a website on the internet or a blog or you're selling something or you're just maybe promoting your personal brand as someone who knows what they're doing in the hopes of getting maybe a better job or networking better connections, social media can help really drive stuff to your site and get it going on. I'll give you an example. When I recently started the Chris Voss Show website to promote my brand a whole lot more than what it was at the time, in my blog, I took in we put it on the website. I think August 17th, and after blasting using all of our social my social media techniques, after blasting that all out there, within overnight I had over 200 people hitting the site, and sales of ebooks were going immediately. Now I'm not a celebrity figure. I'm not Microsoft or Apple. No one really cares when I open a website. But the power of social media and being able to drive traffic to that website is just a massive thing. You don't have to sit around waiting anymore like you would with the storefront, or like you would where you're waiting. You know, I hope I can make number one on the Google rating, and hope somebody, you know, calls off of my links from search-based engines. And so this is something that puts it in your control, in your hands. You literally have the power to control how much traffic you want to drive to your website. And social media is like an army. There must be, and you're welcome to correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, I think there's probably 60 to 80 different social media types of companies that are out there. And you can literally use all these companies to just ram information and build out what's going on for your company. To expand on that example, surely, I think within a week or two of putting the Chris Voss Show online, you can now go to the Chris Voss Show and Google me, and I take up 6 pages of all this social media stuff that has copied my blogs and taken my information, and they've just helped amp up and promote my company's interest all that much further. And so it's a great tool for that. Companies are using it for a lot of different things. Let me see if I can get some points brought up here. Not only using it for exposing their company and promoting their company, there are companies that are using it for customer service. There's companies that are using it to talk to their clients. And in the old days, but it's still very active, companies will set up focus groups where they can go, they take a control group and they pitch a new product to them or new idea to them, and then they get a response as to what the potential is to buy those things. The great thing about social media is companies now use, and now are starting to use, social media as a way to vet some of their future projects so they can put them out there, let people test them, and let people blog about them, and then see what the overall response is for public. And the great thing about social media is it's free. The thing I talk about when I speak to people is I'll usually ask everyone, what if I could give you a free employee? I mean, that sounds like a good deal, doesn't it, Jay, a free employee?
That sounds very good to me, yes.
Sounds like a very good idea. Now, most businesses, when I say, if I give you a free employee, will that make you happy? Now, I'm not only going to give you a free employee, Jay, I'm going to give you a 24/7 free employee. An employee is going to work for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You'll always know where they're at, you'll always know they're working, and you always know they're doing their job. Now, you don't have to pay any pension, retirement, state taxes, anything for this employee. It's largely free other than the amount of work you need to do to set it up and keep it active. So, sounds like a good deal. So, with social media, you can program stuff, and part of my strategies is not to create a lot of work. And that's usually what I see with a lot of people out on Twitter, especially if they're business people. They're going, you know, how do I do all this? How do I, you know, I got to live 24/7 to be able to, you know, stay online and sell stuff, et cetera, et cetera. The great thing is a lot of it's programmable. Now, you mentioned in my one book, How to Semi-Automate Twitter. One of the important things about being on social media, it's very connectivity-based, it's very interactive-based, it's very talk-to-your-customers-based. It's moving away from the old monolith ivory tower corporate structures. Even companies like Ford, Dell Computer, you name it, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, now have customer service employees on social media, not only monitoring their brand and what people are saying, but actually interacting with clients. If someone has a bad experience, they're going to them. Social media is probably one of the most powerful things that you can possibly get involved in right now. And it's not a fad. It's going to be the future of what marketing is going to be. If you notice, you're seeing radio, TV, and newspaper advertising dying. Everything is going to the Internet. Recently, there was some, and the changes are pretty drastic and extraordinary. Recently, there was a, you probably all heard of the person who flew with United Airlines. They broke his guitars. He put up just a simple video on YouTube, and it was entertaining as well as, I guess, a complaint in the end, but it went viral. And then all of a sudden, you know, here's a Fortune 500 company that's just dying to fix this guy's problem now because of, obviously, the issue that he's shown a light on. And I'm sure he's changed their policies and their effectiveness, and also their realization that they have to monitor and watch social media just for that reason alone of being in a customer service sort of stance. Another thing I saw recently was a gal who, she had a Bank of America credit card, I believe, and they increased the rates for no reason because of the new legislation that's coming down the pike, like 30%. So she gets online, she does a little video blog on YouTube, thing goes viral, and all of a sudden the people that really didn't give a, you know, they really didn't care about her and were telling her tough luck at Bank of America, suddenly Bank of America is clamoring to fix her problem. And, you know, we've all heard the stories about there was a Twitter campaign that got some release from Iran and stuff like that. So social media is something that your business needs to get in. And if you don't think it is, I've got some news for you, because what's going to happen is your competitors are already into social media. You're going to end up way behind the eight ball. And you've got to get into it. You've got to master it. You've got to make it go for you. So I believe in semi-automating Twitter to where you have ads, you have entertainment going with your advertising. But I also believe that you have to go on and interact. You also have to monitor it. It can be a full-time job, but when I meet with most people and show them how they can apply just a little bit of their schedule to maximize their social media with semi-automation, they actually have the time to jump in every now and then, say hello, to monitor their replies and what's going on. And the great thing, you know, I talk to so many people and they're like, my e-commerce isn't selling, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. And it's very funny. Most of the sales of my products take place in the middle of the night. It's a very Ronco experience. That's when people have the time to mess around online, maybe finally read what you've blogged about or your video or promotion or whatever the case may be. And that's really a time where most of my sales come. And what's funny is most of the people I find that aren't succeeding on social media is they're working 9 to 5 on social media, and they don't have any automation to take care of the middle of the night or 24 hours a day. The other great thing about social media is it's international. I mean, I've never sold products internationally before. For the first time, there are people that buy my stuff in Australia, the UK, Japan. I've just started recently testing out running on Twitter messages in Russian, Japanese, Chinese, and I believe there's Spanish. So I started running ads actually in those languages because I want to start selling in those markets. Of course, they're hashtagged with Spanish, Germany, Russia, all that good stuff. And what's interesting is people from those countries have been writing me in their foreign language, and thank God I have translators for it. But you can literally take your product, and maybe you've got some product in the Midwest, you're a small company, and if your product can be popular nationally, you can really blow it up. The two biggest markets for my product are the U.S., obviously, but a good second one is probably between Canada and Australia. And they just love it. It seems like both those markets are very much like us. The UK, of course, is popular in buying stuff. So you can literally take your products, and instead of trying to sell them nationally, you can go to this incredible international market. And that's also one of the reasons that you want to be semi-automated, to where you're running 24/7, so that you can capture markets in the UK. You can capture markets in Australia that obviously are on a complete opposite schedule. And I literally do it in my sleep. I mean, how great is that? Filling in your sleep. So if you're a business, it's the most incredible thing to get on. Now, it's not like the newspaper. It's not like radio. It's not like TV. I mean, if I call up a radio station right now and say, hey, I just want to test some ads and see if they even work, then I'm going to be stuck with them laughing probably me off the phone call. I just want to run some ads for free. Is that okay with you guys? Now, the great thing about social media is you can test run your ads. Now, I run a lot of companies, and sometimes there's been times where we've run media advertising like TV and radio, and you build your ad, you spend, thousands of dollars, and you cross your fingers, and you hope that you wrote a good ad. Sometimes the ad booms, you get a lot of business from it, and I'm sure some people in the audience, if they're business people, they've had times where they've done advertising and it's completely fallen on its face, and you don't even sometimes recover the cost of the advertising, which is always unfortunate. The awesome thing about social media is it gives you plenty of ability to tweak ads, to test run things, see if this one works, if that one works, which one gets the better response. There's tons of API feedback systems that work with Twitter and many other companies now, where you can monitor what's going on. You can see instant results. That's the other thing I love about Twitter and social media, Jay, is because there are sites that I can go to where as soon as I run an ad, I can press a button and I can see how many people click that ad in the first 2 minutes. And it's pretty quick, and it's the results that you get are pretty amazing. And you just go, wow, that worked, and I can't believe that many people immediately picked up on it. When you really think about some of the volume of traffic that's going through Twitter and other social media sites, it's pretty amazing. When it comes down to the things not to do or to do, there's probably a lot of opinions in that void of what to do and what not to do. What you do want to make sure you're monitoring your brand. Build relationships with your clients. Make sure you're listening. Make sure you're talking back to people and communicating with them. The other thing you want to do is you want to put your personality online. The thing that I teach companies that I speak to is people don't really care so much about what the name of your product is. It is important, but people buy from people. Now, if you're Ford and whatever, obviously, when they do buy, there's some of that gives to the name. But for a lot of small business people buy you at that level. And what a lot of these companies have been doing, like Dell, Ford, and other things, is they put their employees online. So their employees have their personalities online. And instead of being the big ivory tower company, they can now be at a level where they're very approachable. I'll give you another story. And this is just amazing, to the power of social media. It used to be, if I wanted to reach out to a major investor on Wall Street an angel investor or a banker, et cetera, et cetera, there used to be people that I couldn't touch, reach, or talk to. If you didn't know their phone number, there probably wasn't a way that you were ever going to get through their secretary. A few months ago, there was a very large company that had some issues internally that I don't think their investors were aware of or the board of directors. And they were creating a habit that was driving business away from them. and I really love this company, and I thought what they did was really great, but I could see that this little pattern that they had and kind of an internal belief system that they had was really undermining the company. And more clients and customers of mine were saying, you know, this company we really don't want to deal with because we just have these keep having issues. And so I approached the company, tried to sit down with their management and say, look, there's some certain belief systems you have here that are really impeding your success. Now, big companies like MySpace, I mean, they were the bomb at one time. But unfortunately, they put too many ads. They put too much volume on their thing. It took way too much time to load someone's web page. And then there was tons of spam and ads, and people left and went to Facebook. Apple Computer had a brilliant idea when they first started. They were leaders in the market. And unfortunately, Microsoft took and licensed out all the licensing for their computers and beat them in the long term at the game of who could sell the most computers. Now, those are some examples of where people's paradigms and belief systems really limited them. Even in the 80s or 70s, the CEO of IBM said, I don't see any reason for a computer to be in everyone's home. I only see that there should be 12 computers in the whole world. Obviously, he was wrong. IBM missed the ball, considering they controlled computing at that time, and Microsoft emerged as the winner. So with this company, I saw that they had a belief system that was really starting to undermine their customers and in the end was probably going to eventually take them out of a status of high growth. The management team has their own belief systems that were kind of operating in a bubble, and they weren't really interested in my point of view and what I was trying to explain to them, pitch them, and they felt their points of view were correct. Well, I really believed in my system. So I went to the media, and I approached the media, and I said, look, here's some information that I've written on some op-ed pieces. I'm really trying to put some pressure on this company so that they can kind of see that what they're doing is not the best pattern of behavior. And that didn't work. They weren't willing to pick it up. So I actually went and found one of their major investors' blogs. I went to his blog, and I started writing him, emailing him, getting to know him. This is a New York venture capitalist, and he got to know me. And then I said to him, I said, you know, with this company of yours, here's a kind of an issue. I think it's a concern, and I think you should look into it. And I gave him the amount of selling and information that he needed to be convinced of it. What's funny is by having that conversation with him, the next I think it was a Friday that I had the final pitch with him, and I said, look, here's the deal, and blah, blah, blah. And he says, I'll look into it. This was on a Friday. They held a board meeting the next day. They called an emergency board meeting and basically reviewed the points that were taking them under or inhibiting their growth in the long run, and they changed their policies that pretty much affected over 60 million people. And basically, I was told, of course, that, you know, it was cool that I did that and I made some major changes. And I'm just a little guy. I don't know these people. I'm not really integrated with them. And the fact that someone can take an idea and make that much of an impact on a company and also make that much of an impact on their consumers is pretty powerful. And it's not that I'm powerful, but just by using social media through those connections and being able to find these people and talk to them, it's just more of an open discussion world with a larger sharing of ideas where you can build better companies in the long run. Bad things to do on Twitter, there's a lot of opinions about it. I don't think it's bad to automate on Twitter. And I'll tell you why. I don't think you should ever fully automate. I think you should make sure and reply to everybody that talks to you. You should make sure that anytime someone DMs, you talk to them. There's some people that feel that you should thank everybody for each retweet. I think that's a little overkill because technically them retweeting you is basically an endorsement. But with automation, the way I feel about it is, and I think this is what a lot of people don't get with the advertising. When you go to TV or radio and you watch a TV or radio ad, correct me if I'm wrong, Jay, but most times it's an entertainment ad, and then there's a pitch at the end, right? Beer commercials usually have something funny. Just about any commercial you'll see has something usually funny or some sort of spin entertainment value. Even if you're watching Silas, I guess there's something interesting, fun, or entertaining about people sitting in bathtubs. I don't know what that's about. But they try and have, they're either educating or they're having some entertainment. So what I teach people is if you're going to run ads, if you're going to do advertising, you've got to catch people with entertainment. If you make it fun, it doesn't seem like an ad. So the large part of my streams and the information that goes out on social media are jokes. Some jokes aren't right. Some jokes are just off the internet. Some of it's motivational and educational, like positive quotes and things like that. And then a very small portion of my online stream is advertising. And even then, we try and keep it fun. I integrate it with blogs and posts on my blog page. So automating, a lot of people, when they say automated, they think that you're just going to hammer 100% ads at people and just drive them away. And I believe it's a very bad experience to do. The great thing about social media is as a company, you can develop your personality. Maybe you're a green company, or you feel that as your company that not only does your product, you sell your product, but most people that have a product they really believe in, they really feel that it changes the world in some way or makes a difference in people's lives in some way. And that it's important, obviously, because obviously people are buying the product. So with social media, you're able to really develop that persona that you try and put out there, that PR. And the great thing is you don't have to spend millions of dollars on TV ads to try to develop your brand presence and PR. You can actually tinker with it and work it. And it's always interesting to me as to a lot of people, I'd say most people, really get my personality online, which is pretty amazing considering they're I'm working with 140 characters in Twitter. And they get to know you, they develop relationships with you. The other great thing about social media online is you can take your business and create a community around your business where you have these people that are loyal fans, and they begin to act like a street team, much like, you do promotions for maybe a bar or club or maybe a band. You have a street team that goes out and passes out flyers. The great thing about social media is if people really like you, they will promote you, and they will take and tell people about your product. They'll espouse testimonials of the experience they've had with your product, and so it's just an incredible tool that way that you can develop this thing. Some more things that you shouldn't do on social media. You shouldn't be ugly, mean, or negative to people. There's some sayings that I always use: tweet everyone the way you want to be tweeted, which follows the golden rule, do unto others as you would have done unto yourself. Realize that anything you say is managing the PR of your business. The one unfortunate thing of social media is there are ugly hater-type people out there that have issues with themselves, and they try and go around and make trouble wherever they can. But it's a very small minority, and usually you just don't engage those people. You block them from out of your systems, and most times they just go away and go about whatever unhappy lives they're living. But for the most part, you end up with a community that really helps promote you, and they do it for free. There's probably, I think, 20 or 30 people that I have online that just about everything I do, they will promote it. And they do it just out of love and care for either me or my product. And it's so enriching to have that experience because I don't have to pay them, and they really love what I do, and they really promote what I do. And, where do you get that any place in the world where people are working for you for free? I mean, that's just great. If you're a business, you put your employees on. Of course, you probably need some contracts to protect yourself from after employees leave, exit agreements, et cetera, et cetera. Kind of covered the gambit of things, Jay. Any ideas you want me to expand on?
Well, Chris, I'm just really honored here at how much you have shared. I'm really glad we're recording this so that, I'll speak for myself so that I can listen to it again. And I'm glad that the people listening to the call tonight will have an opportunity to do that. So I don't feel like I really want to go over anything that you've said to any great degree, but you have made some great points here in that basically, if I was to try and sum this up, and let's see if I can, because I don't want to be putting words in your mouth, that Twitter, especially, but all forms of social media, are a way of communicating and connecting with an audience of like-minded and like-hearted people. And when you reveal your personality and share openly what you have to offer people in terms of being of service to them over the media to the degree that you can in that environment, that you create community and you create a sense of fan, in a sense you create a fan base, some of whom will be your customers, clients, and patients, and others of whom will not only be that, but they'll be your raving fans, and they will share you and your work with others. And that also that social media is something that needs to be managed just like any other business activity. So you need to think about your own reputation online, which means that you need to be concerned to some degree about what it is that you say and keep it positive and keep it the way you'd like to be treated. And also that in managing your brand and your position in the marketplace, that you not only want to be letting people know how they can get from you, but offering and sharing and serving, are those, would you say that that's a reasonable summary of some of the things that you said here tonight?
I think you did an awesome job, yeah.
Well,
you nailed it.
So now, let me see if I can point to one specific thing that you didn't say. So I don't want it to be by inference that this point is made. Mm-hmm. In all of the things that you said about managing your brand and your reputation, about serving others, about giving, of treating people how you'd want to be treated, and about even talking about what your area of expertise and your products and services are, and even in the context of saying that a good many of your tweets are about revealing your personality or being humorous or telling a story, while a small number of them give people an idea of what it is that you do, I never heard you mention once anything having to do with using social media specifically as a sales tool or as an overt marketing tool. So would you talk about, I mean, this is the number one question that we receive. I mean, Chris, when we do these Ask Twitter.net calls in advance, we get dozens, if not hundreds, of questions. And probably the most common question, if I were to boil it down, is how do I make money on Twitter? Or how do I make money using Twitter? So would you talk about that, about what you didn't say in that context of marketing and promotion and selling, and about what is Twitter and social media in relationship to the marketing and selling process?
Okay. With Twitter, what you want to do is you want to put your business online, of course, set up a profile. You need to add followers. One of the challenges I see with a lot of people that set up business on Twitter is they get like 1,000 followers, and somehow they expect they're going to get 1,000 sales or get millions of dollars in sales. As with any great system, you know, whether it be a car or anything else, you need a good strategy. You need a good owner's manual. And, well, you need a good strategy to work just like you would for a business. So the important thing is to educate yourself, no matter how you do it, on what Twitter's about and other avenues of social media, how people sell on there. Now, once you establish yourself on Twitter, you want to build followers. And there's lots of different ways that you can do that. So you build your follower base. The one thing you want to remember is that maybe 5 to 10% of the people that are actually following you are probably actually listening to you. There's a lot of volume on Twitter. With Twitter, most people probably spend 1 to 2 hours a day on Twitter. So you've actually kind of capture them in certain envelopes of when they're online, or if you have people that are loyal, hopefully they're watching you consistently. The great reason for being on Twitter and making money on Twitter is 66% of Twitter users will spend more dollars on the internet than non-Twitter users. That's from Comscore. That's a pretty amazing statistic. Do you want to be on Twitter or do you want to be on the internet? 66% of people will spend more dollars on Twitter than on just the general internet. So what you want to do is set up your account on Twitter, start developing a follower base, and that must be a consistent growth. Just like anything you do with advertising, consistency and strategy is the smart keys. Now, from that, you want to start running ads for your company, maybe developing your personality, however, you know, what your personality is about. Let's say maybe you're a green company that does environmental stuff, or maybe that's a side charity project or something your company tries to push that you guys support green activities. You want to, of course, put links to different sites. What I always teach people is that they should each have a blog site. It's not good enough anymore just to have a website. Websites are very impersonal in a lot of cases. So you need a blog. People want to know much more about products now than ever before. What are you selling? Who's the person behind selling it? So you want to have a blog online so that you can point people on Twitter to your blog. So basically you run ads that say, hey, I put up a blog post today on this new product that we have coming out, and here's maybe what benefits you. Obviously, you've got to put this in 140 characters or less. And then you put a link on there so that people go to your blog or your main website where your sales are. And the key is, too, with advertising, of course, and this is Advertising 101, consistency. You've got to run consistent ads. A lot of people don't click on your ad the first time, just like a lot of people don't go out to In-N-Out Burger just because they saw an ad. But by building, one of the things you have to do with brand and on Twitter is you have to run consistent advertising. Now, there's some people that will tell you that they're sick of seeing your advertising, which the key is not to run too often. Or if you entertain, that makes a difference too. So, I've had people say, you know, the only reason I put up with your ads, Chris, is you actually entertain me and you're funny and we like what you say. And you seem to know what you're talking about. So, you start loading your ads, whether you're doing them automated or semi-automated, and you program them into maybe an automation system. There's tons of ones out there. Or you can do it by hand. A lot of people, with bigger companies nowadays, they actually hire an SEO, a person who's a social media officer who oversees all your social media advertising and also your online presence. It's very important that you monitor your online presence because sometimes people say negative things about you, or maybe they have a complaint about your product, which is great because more people will complain online than they will complain to your face. So you can actually kind of deal with their issues, resolve them, and turn them into a happy client. So you run ads in 140 characters or less, link them to your website, link them to your blog. A blog is a great place to talk about the different aspects of your product, where you can take even just one product and you can say, okay, well, you know, here's an example of how a product works. Here's a little video. Videos are a great way to blog or to talk about things on Twitter and get people interested in your product to buy them. They can see you interacting with them. They can see the people who's behind them, who's behind the product, and it gives them a better sense of security and a belief in the people that are selling them. I think recently Ford loaned 100 of their new ecosystem green cars to the top bloggers in America. And they told them, blog good, bad, or ugly, just let us know what you think. That's a pretty powerful statement, and obviously they feel really good about that product to be able to trust a whole bunch of people to hopefully say something very positive about them. So you run ads for your company, whatever it is. if you want to go see, you know, the latest thing that we have here, here's another product, here's what it does, here's how it helps you. And I would advise, of course, make your product entertaining, make it fun, make it interesting, maybe sell why it's important, and then sell your company too. Don't just sell products. Sell your company. Here's what XYZ Corporation does. Here's what we believe in. Here's how we're trying to make a difference in the universe and why buying our products is going to make a difference in your life and you know, contribute to the quality of the universe. So that's important too. And then run your ads as frequently as you possibly can. I don't believe in running the same ad anytime more than 2 or 4 hours in a given period. And there are some things that are changing within Twitter where they're coming down on people to just repeat ads over and over. So my advice is make your ads interesting, make them different. It doesn't take much to change the dynamics or the words that are in an ad and mix them around a little bit so that it doesn't look like you're just repeating the same thing over and over again. I think that's important. Basically, run your ads. Be consistent. Run them 24/7. If you need to hire an SEO, hire an SEO so that someone can manage it full-time. Social media is getting big enough that every company, probably one of the standard jobs that they're going to have out there is an SEO who can monitor your brand, who can run your ads, who can make sure they're in constant communication with the front line or the people that, you know, are experiencing your tweets. And then, of course, to make money on Twitter, you need to have, with your product, you either have with your website, I'm sure there's probably like a Visa, MasterCard or something of that nature. If you don't have a merchant account you're using that for, you can, of course, go to PayPal and set up a little merchant account where you can take Visa, MasterCard, American Express, even checks. And then I'm pretty sure everyone's pretty familiar with PayPal where, you know, you can go to PayPal, you get the little button, you paste it onto your blog or website and sell your product and people click it, send you money, and then they can link up with the sales page or their confirmation page to get their product. The other thing, too, is that's great about making money on Twitter is you want to have an opt-in marketing system if you don't have one already. Some people already have one with their website. Some people don't. If you're going to bring traffic from Twitter to your sales site or your website or your blog, you want to make sure you capture that audience and bring them back some more. And the best way is through opt-in marketing. So a great way to introduce people to your products is to offer free product, and in offering the free product, you'll basically look, if you come to my blog, you sign in, you give me your email address and your name, we're going to send you out some information on a frequent basis or infrequent basis, and we just want to keep you in touch with our product, with some of the newest things maybe that we're developing and things that we think you're going to like to hear. And with opt-in marketing, you can thereby not only bring people to your website the first time, which is really important, making sales. But a second time, you can be sending out emails to people that have opted in saying, hey, here's our product again, or here's a different product that you can purchase, et cetera, et cetera. And most times you can develop your brand that way where people get to know you more personally. You have the repetitive and consistency of ads where people continue to get them. And eventually you'll get sales from that element of it too. What are other ways to make money on Twitter? Help me out here, Jay. Have I covered the gambit, or am I missing something?
Well, Chris, I think you've just given such an amazing overview of the process here. And again, I'm going to encourage people to listen to the replay to kind of get the gestalt of it as well as the specifics. But let me see if I can throw in something a little bit from my perspective and see if I can put a wrapper around what you've said. What one of my primary teachings is that Twitter is a tool. And so just like any tool, it's important to know how to use the tool, but also the tool has to have a context so that you're using the right tool for the right job. And there are basic success principles for being successful in business. And you've mentioned some of these, Chris. So every business needs to know its purpose for how it serves people in the marketplace right now. And the purpose is something that generally a business, when it knows what it is, it's something that will extend throughout the lifetime of a business. But like anything, a purpose or any of the things that we talk about may or can be adjusted according to how times change and how people grow in relationship to what it is that they're attempting to do in their business. So we have a business purpose, and then based on what that purpose is, we create a vision of where we'd like to be in terms of how we serve our customers and clients and patients and how we want to make our sales, et cetera, and what we want to be doing. The vision represents how life will be in the future when we're successful at doing this. And then around that, we create strategies to get from where we are to where we're going, and then we determine what the tools are to implement those strategies. And so that means that when we're talking about Twitter, we're already at the fourth level of business success in terms of building first upon purpose and then developing a vision and then creating strategies and then determining what tools to use. But I think it's fair to say that Twitter and other social media right now are critical tools to a business's success. And then when you have any tool, you want to say, well, what's my purpose for using this tool, and what's my vision for using the tool, and what's my strategy for using the tool? And those are things that you've just laid out here so beautifully. But what I mostly heard was that the overall business strategy, whether you're offline or online, needs to encompass and include having a blog site. Now, I know, Chris, that you've got a site at Strategics One that is not primarily a blog site when you find that site, that Strategics One site is your, in essence, your online brochure, and designed deliberately in that way because it links to your primary blog. It also, you have as one of your brand building strategies and one of your business strategies to do a regular online video, which you call the Chris Voss Show. And so that falls into your strategy. But the bottom line, for once we get past all of my gibberish here, is that you use Twitter to let people know about what you're doing everywhere else. And I've never once seen you try to sell or market anything directly on Twitter. You always use Twitter to inform people about where they can learn more or where they can find information about something, and you always direct them to another location via the links that you put in there. You direct them to your blog, you direct them to your Chris Voss show site, you direct them to a sales page, for example, where you've got your Twitter ebooks and video training series. But you're always using Twitter to inform people and inspire and motivate them to take an action that takes them away from Twitter so that the marketing and primary promotion and sale can happen at its proper and appropriate location, which is, from what I gather how you use Twitter, it's not on Twitter. You don't do your selling or your marketing or your promotion. At the most, what you do is you use Twitter as an advertising vehicle to advertise where people need to go in order to learn more, buy more, do more, or whatever happens away from Twitter. So is that accurate?
That is very accurate. You nailed it. Twitter, like you said, it's designed for building brand and getting people a reason to click those links and being interesting and providing value. There's a lot of free information that I give out on Twitter, and I don't do it so much to sell product as I do. I really enjoy my product base is about helping people. I see the look on people's faces when I teach them that they don't have to spend a weekend adding 1,000 followers or unfollowing or vetting their followers one by one, click by click. And they're just overjoyed when they're like, wow, there's a better way to do this. And that's really, the concept of thinking out the box, getting a better strategy to do it. But, Yeah, that's the real key, getting people reason to do. But I do a lot of free information, and a course below it is not very prevalent, but enough for them to see it. It's usually little ads for the stuff that I do to educate them. So, you know, I'll do a video, like you say, I'll talk about all sorts of different things, I'll educate people different things, and I think people get the gist of what the motivation is or theme behind my product or how much I care about the universe or maybe social media and enhancing the quality of people's lives. And so I think people see that theme, or I hope that they do, and that makes them more interested in my company and wanting to buy my products, and that's what people have businesses should be doing. You know, they should be blogging about, a lot of businesses, a great blog post might be talking about how you send your staff out to do houses for humanity. Maybe you own one of those freeway strips where you go out and you pick up garbage. You do a little video that gives some humanity to your corporation, that, hey, you're just not some big corporate company that's just trying to make money and that's cha-ching what you're all about, you know. And I don't know a lot of companies that are just about making money, and they really care about, well, attorneys. No, I'm just kidding. but I'm just kidding. If there's any lawyers around, don't sue me, please. But in essence, you know, most people, even lawyers, they care about something. They're passionate maybe about family, kids. They're passionate maybe about protecting the environment. I think we all realize, most of us, that making the world a better place in our own little corners of community is an onus that's set upon us to, you know, make our surroundings better by hopefully making the world better and contributing. And so, to me, that's really what it is, like you say. I try and post stuff up there. It's interesting. I give it away all for free if somebody would, you know, if I was making enough money to be able to do that off of the effort that it takes to create those products, but they are fairly inexpensive, and you know, I suppose it's different for other businesses and what they do. But I think if I can expand on one thing, Jay, here that you said that really pointed out to me, people don't buy products, and they don't buy the names behind the products. They buy people. They buy whoever the salesman is who's selling it to them. Now, there are large companies that there are certain names you trust, Sony. Maybe you like Sony products, but there are people that don't like Sony products. But we buy from people that we like and people that we trust. And so social media helps you put that face on there where you can develop who you are. They get a good idea. When you see advertisements on TV and radio, I mean, this isn't any different from social media than what you're doing out there. You're not selling Extends pills, okay? You're not selling pills. You're selling an experience. You're selling a feeling that person's going to have. You're selling maybe a more prospective future that person's going to have if they use your product. I think there's a Fidelity commercial where they have the green thing that goes through the people's house or down the street or whatever, if you've seen it. And it's not like they're coming on going, hey, we have stocks and we want you to buy them, darn it, because we want to make money. The ads are usually passionate and caring about someone who's like, hey, I want some financial direction in my life so I can feel more secure, make some better choices, and in the end, have a better retirement and a fruitful life. And in the 30-second commercial, they can say the same amount of message, that it's not just product, 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 sales, sales, sales. It's about, how is my customer going to feel using my product? What are they going to experience? How am I making their lives better? And how is this making a difference in the quality of lives and even the quality of the universe, if that's your big picture vision? So, yeah, like you say, you can't just go on there and start ramming product. And I think a lot of people make that mistake in advertising. But look at what goes on TV. I mean, just watch an ad. This is a lot of things I've trained people on. Watch ads. Say, what's the real message? Who is this core message going to? What audience are they appealing to? That's something you have to ask yourself when you're doing your ads. What audience am I appealing to? Am I going after a local audience, an international audience, a national audience? Am I going after a segment? Maybe people that have certain medical conditions, if that's your product, or people at a certain age group, maybe that use your product more than other age groups. And then the great thing about social media, of course, is you can target that to those different groups that you want to hit, or maybe your product is more broad-based. it's an amazing product where with TV, radio, and print, you sometimes wonder if you're really targeting your base. And the great thing about social media is there's so many different API mechanisms and companies that have developed systems where you can target, you know, almost down to a very small group of people, the people you're after. Yeah, it's really about, like I say, Jay, it's about building what your product gives people as opposed to what the product is. Because people don't buy products. They buy experiences. They buy feelings. They buy emotions. They buy stuff because they want their lives to be better.
I agree wholeheartedly. And the point is that these days, which for well over a year I've been calling the new economy because I don't wish to apply many of the other labels that people use, we are definitely in a new economy, and people need what you have to offer as much or more than they did before, especially if you serve them in ways that that help them make more money, which they need right now, help them save money, help them feel better, because there's a lot around us that is causing people, at least they're blaming their feelings on, and so if you can help them feel better, then those are things that are invaluable to them. If you can help them do what they're doing more effectively, more efficiently, so that they have less energy invested in the outcome and more time to play or be with their family or do something. And, of course, may have to check your pricing structure these days and see if it matches what people are willing to pay in this new economy. But Chris, my contention is that when you really move into this mode of service that you have so wonderfully described in saying that you'd give it all away if you could, and talking about, you know, taking time out of your life to clean up a little piece of highway strip, and you know, if you're going to do it, there's a great advantage to inspiring others and motivating them to do the same thing by taking a video of it and letting people see that one person can make a difference. So I'm really inspired by what you're talking about this evening, and I hope that our listeners are getting the sense that you're really talking about something that's so important, which is letting people know who you are and letting them know what you have to offer them and how you can serve them. I'm going to use this opportunity. It's my contention that when people have something of value that will help somebody else in an important way, that not promoting it and not marketing it is actually a disservice to yourself, because it doesn't help with your business when you aren't telling people how they can buy from you, but also a disservice to others, because if you're not letting people know what you have of value, then they don't know that they can get that from you, and their lives will remain unchanged or maybe go in the wrong direction, or they'll find it from somebody else. And so with that in mind, even though I hope our listeners have really gotten a sense, and we're going to do more here, we're going to stay on for another little while and answer specific questions, Chris, that this is not a selling call, that if you're listening to Chris, brings up in you a desire to learn more about how to implement these strategies he's talking about, or if in some way you'd like to be supported in a long term, which is the kind of program that I've created for people who are using Twitter, then just visit twittercentral.net. Look for the links on the right, and you'll find links to Chris's ebook and video trainings on Twitter, and you'll find links to the trainings and the training and support program that we offer there. And I won't say any more than that, other than visit twittercentral.net, please. Visit it often, and get links to Chris's sites, to our sites, and continue to do what Chris says, to educate yourself, keep yourself involved, be constantly building relationships. My name is Jay Aaron, and I'm the founder of TwitterCentral.net and a network of Twitter-related websites, including AskTwitter.net, created to help you use Twitter successfully as a highly effective business tool. I'm also the creator of the Twitter Quick Start Guide for Entrepreneurs and Small Businesses, a training designed to help you set up and tweak your Twitter account for maximum business success, and the Twitter Business Strategies Sequential Learning Training and Support Program. Today's featured guest is Chris Voss. Chris is the Twitter and social media expert that other experts call for help. Chris is a highly sought-after speaker and the host of the Chris Voss Show. He's also the CEO of Strategics One Consulting and provides consulting services for businesses, sales, motivation, training, and startups, and especially focuses on social media.